BBC.
Hello and welcome to Witness with me, Dina Newman. Today, I'm taking you back to December the 10th, 1984, to a very special benefit concert held in London. The concert was in support of British coal miners who were on strike at the time, and it was organized by a gay campaign group. It's Saturday night, and around 1,500 people have gathered in Camden at the Electric Ballroom nightclub. The crowd is more diverse than usual. Gay and heterosexual Londoners, but there are also miners of all ages from remote mining villages across the country. Striking miners had free entry because the event was in their benefit, and yet many of them were bewildered by what they saw.
I never forget walking around the auditorium, and this young Scottish miner stopped me and he said, do you have something to do with this? I said, yep.
Mike Jackson was one of the organisers from the campaign group Lesbians and Gays Support the Miners.
He was just bewildered. He said, I had no idea you people supported us. And I just remember gently putting my arm round his shoulder and gesturing to the crowd with my other arm and saying, well, now you do.
In the early 1980s, homosexuality was no longer entirely illegal in the UK, but there was still a lot of discrimination. Many gay people didn't feel part of mainstream society. And working as a gay activist, Mike Jackson remembers that the police, in particular, were seen as untrustworthy.
The police were sending plainclothes agents provocateurs. You know, they'd send good-looking, young, sexy policemen into public toilets, which is one of the places where gay people met each other in those days. And they would entice these men and then they'd arrest them. Now, that practice was illegal, but that's what happened. We'd get people phoning us up who had been arrested. And this would lead to people kind of being outed in the community. You know, married men who's got children will suddenly be exposed. People's lives will be absolutely destroyed by this.
The 1980s were also a time of restructuring for the British economy. In 1984, the government attempted to end subsidies to the coal industry. Dozens of unprofitable coal mines were at risk of closure. Miners started a nationwide strike, which triggered anger and hostility on all sides and led to violent clashes with the police.
More, what are termed as shield units are moving up, police carrying 6-foot plastic shields and wearing helmets. The horses and the police officers are being stoned. In fact, a barrage of stones are being hurled at the mounted police as they now come back down the road, having pushed the pickets further back.
The miners' strike of 1984 was to go on for almost a year. It was the biggest industrial dispute in British history. Some called it the Civil War without guns. Mike Jackson, who came from a working-class background, instantly knew which side he was on.
It was a huge, huge social division in Britain, and it completely split the country into two. You're either for the miners or against them. It was as simple as that. And what the miners' strike did was it suddenly gave working-class people a voice, including working-class lesbian and gay people. You know, we knew that this was an attack on trade unionism itself. If the government won that, that was going to be very bad for working class people in this country.
In the summer of 1984, Mike and his friends started the gay support group for the miners. Initially, they simply collected money on the streets of central London. As the strike wore on, miners across the country struggled to feed their families, relying more and more on the union support and on donations.
Those in most need have been sustained by this, a soup kitchen.
Serving hot meals 3 days a week. The £150 a week running costs have been met by donations from the public and other unions, both at home and abroad, and the generosity of local shopkeepers. The same sources have provided tens of thousands of food parcels.
Mike's group decided to send the money they collected to a remote mining village in the Valley of Delice in Wales. At first, the gay activists had no idea how their offer of support would be received. The stereotype of a close-knit working-class community was that it did not accept homosexuality. Many working-class gay people like Mike had left those communities behind and moved to large cities where they felt more comfortable being openly gay. Fighting doubts and fear, Mike and his friends decided to travel to Delice to meet their miners in the local village hall.
So going into that miners' welfare hall was a little bit scary. There were about 200 or 300 people in there, all generations, children running about, grandparents, etc. And so there's these 22 gay men, 5 lesbians, all dressed in charity shop chic. And we walked through those double swing doors and all the tenor of the conversation in there dropped. And that was a really awkward moment because that was a response to our presence. And then somebody started clapping and the whole 200 to 300 people in there started applauding us, and they only knew 2 things about us. 1, that we supported their struggle, and 2, we were queer. And that changed my life. Every hair on your body stood up on end. It was an amazing moment. All I'd ever wanted really was acceptance, and here I was getting it in bucketfuls.
The friendship between a group of gay activists and a community of striking Welsh miners began that night.
So you can imagine it was a great night. Everybody got quite drunk. There's photographs of gay men draped over each other's laps and miners and their wives and kids in the background, and nobody bats an eyelid. It's as if this has been the normal way life has been forever.
Over the next few months, the gay activists visited the village several times, enjoying a warm welcome.
And when you say to people now in the communities that the gays have been down, oh, how are they? Did you have a good time?
When are they coming again?
And this is people, sort of my neighbours, and some of my neighbours have even said, why haven't you bought them for us to meet them then? You know, and I was, you know, I thought that I would not offend them, but that they would close it, but they're not like that at all.
A recent film, Pride, tells the story of the friendship between the gay activists and the miners. After months of work, in December 1984, Lesbians and Gays Support the Miners were able to stage that benefit concert, raising over £5,500. By then, more gay people had come to identify with the miners' plight, and activist Nigel Young spoke for many when he made his passionate address.
I think all lesbians and gay men who are attacked by the police, attacked by the media, attacked by the state, know what it's like to be attacked. That's why we're here openly as lesbians and gays and as socialists to support the miners. A victory for the miners is a victory for us all.
Despite significant support, the miners' strike itself collapsed the following March, to the tremendous disappointment of tens of thousands of miners. The unions had lost. And the government had won.
The strike itself will be over on Tuesday and there'll be a disciplined walk.
No!
We were down in South Wales on the very weekend in March when the decision by the National Union, by a very narrow majority, was made to go back to work. And obviously that was an incredibly sad moment. We were gutted, but you know, it wouldn't ever stop me fighting again.
Mike Jackson lives in London and is still a gay activist. He spoke to me, Dina Newman, for Witness. And if you'd like to listen to any of the history programmes in our archive, just search for BBC Witness.